We want to dive in here this morning. Last week, that was really fun. Thanks for participating and celebrating one another. If you were here, we had a bunch of people come up front. I picked them out of the crowd, just random. And then you guys celebrated them. And we talked about love. If you weren't here, I encourage you to even listen to it. All of our, by the way, there are people watching around the world through our live stream. You can always, if you're not here or you miss a service and you want to go back and watch it or you listen to it and, hey, I'd like to listen to that again. If you go to our Facebook page or Awake Church Facebook page and click videos, all of our services are there. Going back several months, maybe even plus a year plus, and you can watch them. And it's amazing. I will do that when I'm gone. I watch the services and then sometimes I'll watch them again after I've been here. If I hear someone, I was listening to Scott Couch's message recently and just watching it again and the things that you get out of it, it's amazing the things that you miss. And it comes fresh again. But anyway, last week we talked about love. I'd like to continue that in a different way, a little adjustment to that, something that God has been speaking to me about for a long time. And I just think it's pretty powerful. You know, Jesus's way of communicating is through, oftentimes, he used the word, said he would go to the temple oftentimes, and we have it in Luke 4 where he would read the scripture, right? He did that sometimes. But most of the time that we have captured the way that Jesus communicated was through story, was through parables. And he would take something in our lives, our daily lives that we see that we're familiar with, and then he would highlight that and bring a spiritual parallel with that so that we could understand it. He's very good at that. And so it helps me because I'm not, as you can tell, I'm not an expository teacher. Whenever I do that, it's usually pretty boring. And though I get confronted sometimes, not necessarily people in here, mostly people out, sometimes people that come here, but really want that style, and it's not who I am. So I have to stay who I am, just like you need to stay who you are, right? But I'm also comforted that Jesus wasn't an expository teacher every single time he spoke, right? He was telling stories. He was connecting people to reality and truth and to his Father, to himself. And man, that's what I want to do. And you're going to hear different styles up here. We don't announce who's speaking each Sunday. Sometimes it's me. Sometimes it's people from within here. Sometimes people from outside of here. And one thing that I try to do is bring a mix of different styles and giftings so that all of those can come out. And there'll be sometimes you could really connect with a different speaker because you love their style. You love the way they communicate. It really speaks to you. And I love that. I love it when you connect with other people, sometimes more than you do with me, because it's all about God. It's all about connecting with Jesus. So in whatever way we get that, we need it. But a part of this also is our hope, my hope, is that we are all diving into the Word on our own. Because if we can't just have Sunday being our only meal. One meal a week is not enough. Right? I like to eat. And we need, you know, I eat right now 2 meals a day. I used to eat 3 meals a day. I've narrowed it down to 2. It helps me. And I need at least that spiritually. I need the Word. And this Word is living. It's alive. These words are incredible. And so I encourage you to dive into the Word. Go to Bible studies. Go to one of our GTs. Get plugged in where there's more time than having me share up here, and you can dive in yourself, be with other people. But anyway, let me transition on here as we were talking about love and Jesus's invitation of living in his love. I wanna spend some time on that a little bit today about the invitation of Jesus to live in his love. He said these things that aren't common to us, though he might have used a situation or an example that is common. The things he was saying weren't necessarily commonly understood, and we're still trying to understand these things. And one of the things I want to bring out today is one in which he shared, and then he brings all these possibilities that we've never even considered. And abiding in him and his love is something that sounds a little bit odd. How do we live in Jesus? How do we abide in him? So let's jump in there a little bit on that. But you know, his desire is that we would be united with him in spirit, that we'd be united with him in spirit. His desire is not for you to live a good Christian life, be just a moral, good citizen and person. He's over here, you're over here. Or maybe you just follow him. His desire, which was much greater than that. The desire and the plan of God is for you to live in him and for him to live in you. That's entirely different than being separate, than having a separation or just following him. It's a mindset shift. It's a mindset change. And he was highlighting that in John 15, which we're going to get to. Paul said this as well. He said, put on the Lord Jesus. Put him on. You have the ability to put on the Lord Jesus. In Romans 13, he also said in Galatians 2, it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Right? And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer I who live, but it's Jesus living inside of me. That mindset is one that we need to grab a hold of daily. That it's not Matt who lives, it's Jesus living in me. That is one of the most powerful revelations, understandings, and ways of thinking on a daily basis that keeps us free, that keeps us vibrant, that enables us to be fruitful. And we also spoke last week about the Apostle John. When Jesus first called him, he was a teenager, best we can guess, and it wasn't long before he was asking God if he could kind of take care of his light work by calling down fire from heaven and burning up the Samaritans. Jesus rebuked him. You see John at the end of his life, he's just talking about love. We get these four books that he's written, the Gospel of John and then 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We have four books of his, we call them books, four of his letters, his writings. And if you read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, it is jam-packed with love. You do a concordance search on love, you're gonna find a bunch of it in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. His life was a process that transitioned into something different than how he began. He learned how to abide in the love of Jesus. He was a different person at the end. And it's who God is making us. He's making me a different person. I grew up a selfish person. The Lord is transitioning me into a loving person. The church in 2,000 years is supposed to be getting to a place where we are really loving people. So he's doing that with all of us individually as well. So let's go ahead and if you have your Bible, you can turn there. If not, we're gonna put it up on the screens here. Appreciate our media guys, by the way. Always in the back, silent and quiet and doing a great job. John 15. Let's just read a few of these verses. Let me start with verse 1. This is unlike any picture or parable, and it's not told in the other gospels, just here. But this analogy that Jesus uses right off the bat, so interesting. I am the true vine. He makes a declaration, a statement right there. I'm the true vine. That sounds weird. If someone just shouted that out right now, I'm the true vine. What in the world? Have they lost their mind? Jesus is saying something to get us to see something. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He's the one who takes care of the vineyard. That's who my Father is, and I'm the true vine. Wow, so what interesting language that Jesus rolls out here. Now, I think if there's a true vine, there are probably false ones, right? Jesus saying, which he said of himself in another place, one chapter earlier, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And then he says, I am the true vine. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, this vine dresser, my Father, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. There's so much in here, we could spend a lot of time with each of these verses, honestly. Another way, though, where it says that first part of that verse, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. I was looking at some of the Greek of the words in there and some of the understandings of that. And one person said it this way, and it's in the Passion Translation. Let me read the Passion Translation. It says, he cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches. And then he prunes every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping them up. And that's what a vine dresser will do as well. They'll help that branch. Maybe not yank it out sometimes. They need to cut it off if it's not producing. But the ones that aren't doing as well, they might get propped up a bit, tied off in a different way, given some support. But there's also the pruning. And you and I have felt pruned sometimes, right? It's a good thing when things get, sometimes relationships need to get pruned as well. Sometimes there are things that we're doing in our lives that get pruned. Sometimes it seems like our fruitfulness just stops. It's not that we did anything wrong. It's that the vine dresser, the Father, is pruning so there can be more fruit. We can take things personally that are meant from him actually as a help, right? Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You know, there's a cleansing that takes place as you read the scriptures, the words of Jesus. There is a cleansing. There's something that happens in your spirit. You can feel it. When you read the scriptures, allow those words to be like the ocean with its waves cleansing the inside of us. There really is something, truth and love and the reality of the words of heaven that come to us. They're cleansing. And Jesus said, you are clean. You're already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. In other words, what he's saying is, I'm not talking about something to get you clean right now. I'm talking about something else I want you to think about and I want you to do. Verse 4, and here's what it is. Abide in me and I in you. Jesus was the first one to begin using this word that we have in the New Testament. He starts using this word abide. Of course, this is a word in English, but that word means to stay, to remain, to live in. It's like a house type of a context of you stay in that house every day. You keep going there. You're not moving from there. You're staying in that house. Jesus says, live, abide, stay in me. Interesting language. And if he's saying that to his disciples who are already following him and love him, this is something different than just following, loving, believing in him. Isn't that interesting? He's saying, I want you to live in me and I'm gonna live in you. That's a different place. That's a different level. That's a different way of thinking. If I think of myself as actually living in him versus following and believing him. The kids are having a great time up there today. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. He's saying, if you want to be fruitful in your life, it's not just following and believing in me. Actually, at one point, says that even the demons believe and tremble, right? So it's not just believing, and it's not just following. He's saying, if you abide in me, your life will be fruitful. There will be fruit that will pop out of your life by just abiding in me, living in me. It's an invitation. And then verse 5, I am the vine, he says again. He says he was the true vine to start off. Now he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Interesting. You're the branches. I'm the vine, my father's the vine dresser, but you are something in the vineyard. You're a branch. They call them in the vine dressers of today, they call those buds. A bud or a branch, it's the same thing. Jesus called it a branch here. He who abides in me and I in him, it's both ways, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, separate from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. You might feel like you're doing something. It might look like you're doing something, But in the economy and in the plan and the purposes of God, it's nothing if it's not in him. If we're not living in him, what comes out of us is not the kind of fruit that he's really looking for. But in him, fruit will automatically happen. So I've had this, and my guess is many of you have done this. Have you been to a vineyard and taken a tour? How many of you guys have done something like that? It's really fun. I've done that at a few vineyards, and I had a chance to do it in Napa Valley, where they have hundreds of them. And this one particular trip was so eye-opening, it was a spiritual experience, I'm just telling you. And I wasn't drinking when I went on the tour. It was a spiritual experience. Here's what happened. I'm out there, there was another pastor friend of mine, and David was probably with me too, David Olinger. And this guy took us on this tour out in the vineyard, and he was so knowledgeable. They call it, I think, a vintner or a, tell me the names. There's other names for the vine dresser, that person who cares for the vine, who takes care of it. And some of you will know more about this than me. I'm just telling you about my experience. And as we were walking among these vines, he was telling us about the soil, and he was telling us about the vines. And he wasn't a believer. He's telling us about the vines. He's telling us how they grow. And then he was explaining to me how they get the different grapes for their different wines. And they brought them from other places and all that. And I was asking so many questions. And here's some of what I learned that really blew me away related to what Jesus is saying right here. If we could put that first slide up. So there is what Jesus said is a vine. And he said of himself. He said, I'm the vine. That's it. It's actually the lower part, even below the, it looks like a cross, doesn't it? But below the arms up on top, the lower part of that is called the trunk, is what they call it today, is the trunk. And this is what Jesus said he was. I'm the trunk, or I'm the vine coming out of the ground. Now you see that thing can be, you know, maybe 3 inches in diameter or so. And they can be a lot of years old, decades old. And so I learned about that vine. And then if we could go to the next slide. Here's a branch, not much there. Just a stick, the ones that they showed us, they're about this long, about a foot long. And it looked like a dead stick. I mean, I didn't see, there's nothing green on it, there's no leaves, nothing. But it was, had some life in it, and in its, inside of its, basically the DNA of this thing was the type of grape that it would produce. It's all right there in this thing, and you've got several of them. So that is the bud or the branch. Go ahead to the next slide. And then this, doesn't that look kind of funny? What happens here, as this guy was explaining this to me, is you see on the left, that is the vine that doesn't, it's got the top that's been whacked off. He said, once we have an established vine of several years coming out of the ground, if it's not producing all the grapes that we want, or we simply want different kind of grapes at our vineyard, here's what we do. We get a bud or a branch from grapes that we do want, and we bring it, and then here's what we do. We whack the top of this vine off. We cut it off. He says, when we do, juice flows up out of it. It's like it, you see liquid coming out of the top. Then we bore a hole in the side of that vine, right in the side. Then we take that which we've cut off from somewhere else that has inside of it the ability to produce great fruit, the kind of fruit that we want, and we sharpen it at the end, and then we jam it in that hole inside of the, in the vine. The foreign vine, these are two different things. And we jam it in there, and then we tape it. We tape it up. He was showing me how he did this. And he said, here's what happens. After you cut the vine off, we bleed it out. That was exactly his words. We bleed it out, and then we put a hole in its side. And then we put a branch inside of it. and we tape them together. And within one growing season, this is amazing to me, within one growing season, the branch or the bud that's put in there will be producing mature fruit. Now I said, you know, how does that happen? Because it looks dead. It looks like nothing. And he starts to explain about that which is in the vine, that on the left, once you get grafted in there, you get everything it has. You get everything that's flowing in that vine gets transferred to the branch. And it causes it to come alive and be fruitful. It's just a nothing. It's not connected to anything. You can wave it around in the air. But once you put it in the vine, it receives the juice and the flow and everything that vine, its roots are going out. It's gathering the water, the nourishment, the nutrients from the soil. It's doing all the work. All the bud does is get in there. All the bud does is get combined or united with the vine. In fact, they call that place, that spot where you can see this bud has been jammed into the side of that vine, they call that the graft union. The place of uniting with the vine. And they tape it up. You can see some of the remains of the tape on both of those. Because like it's been grafted twice maybe. But they tape it up and within a year it's producing mature fruit. That is mind-blowing for me. As he was saying this, I was like, oh my goodness. And that they cut off that vine. It had done nothing wrong. Perfectly innocent. Cut it off. And then bored a hole in its side, that poor vine. Only so it can give life to every branch that's connected to it. The same juice that's flowing in that vine goes right into that branch. In fact, every part of the vitality and the power and the juice that's in that vine, the branch gets. Now, think about that for a moment. When Jesus said, if you will abide in me, I'm the true vine. There's been a way made for you to join me, to abide and to live in me. And when you do that, all that flows in me will flow in you, and you'll be fruitful. That's the invitation of Jesus. Now, if this branch or bud had a mind of its own, it might not want to be there all the time. It might just want to pull out and be somewhere else. Well, you're not going to be fruitful that way. It's not going to have the life force juice of the vine flowing through it if it's separate. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, abide in me. Don't leave this spot. Because though we're a bud and a branch, we still have a mind and we get to make our own choices. So we get to choose every day where we're going to be united. Who we're gonna or what we're gonna be grafted into. What kind of thinking we're going to have. Are we gonna have Jesus's thinking? Are we gonna be abiding in him, or am I going to be connected to something else? So we get this choice. I think it's a daily thing and not necessarily just a one-time thing. Though when we receive Jesus, when we make him our Lord, when we repent, when we turn from our ways of living and receive him, you know, we have him. I believe your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there's something that Jesus is inviting even his disciples who already had going to have their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. He was inviting them to something a little different, an abiding in him where they would have fruit coming from their life that they'd never seen before. I believe that same invitation is for every single one of us. Not just to know about him, not just to follow him to some degree, but to live in him. And I think in many ways, it's a mindset. Like, how do you see yourself? When you are waking up in the morning, you go to the bathroom, you're getting ready with your hair and deodorant and all that stuff. When you look at yourself in the mirror, How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as united and grafted into the person of Jesus Christ standing right there? That you are both together as one? Or do you see yourself, this is just Matt? This is me. Yes, I love God. I serve him. I follow him. I worship him. But you don't see that the two are one. I believe God wants us to have that mindset shift. I believe he wants us to see that I'm in him right now. Doesn't matter how I feel or how I look. I'm in him and I choose to be in him. I choose to not leave this space, this place of abiding in him today. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, if the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. That's Jesus language. That's that language. The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. That we're with God that closely, not separate. I'm telling you, here's what religion does. It brings a separation between you and God. It tries so hard to make you feel distant from God. God's over there somewhere, who knows where. Hopefully he's thinking good thoughts. People will say to me sometimes, people don't know the Lord in particular, hey, say, when they hear I'm a pastor, they'll say, hey, say a word to the man upstairs for me. That type of thinking. You know, a lot of people have that type of thinking. The man upstairs, who knows where he is, you know. What Jesus came and gave and did and said and invited is entirely different than that. It's not the man upstairs. It's here am I at inviting you to join into me so the juice of me flows through you. We're one. That is a powerful, incredible, wonderful revelation and something we get to do. That's why I often say, as I did last week, that we want to stay in that hot tub of abiding in him. We want to stay in that place where we realize that he surrounds me and he's inside of me. As Jesus just said, if you abide in me and I in you, wonderful things are going to happen. Fruit is going to take place. Let's go to the next slide there. There is a grafted, probably less than a year, branch, bud, that has been grafted into that vine. You see, the vine was cut off. The tape is still there, still bright white there, and there's the graft. And already the leaves are starting to grow, and it's starting to spread out. This thing has come to life. You know, that's what Jesus says about you. You abide in him, stuff's gonna come to life. Where I'm not abiding in him, stuff gets dry and brittle. Have you ever felt that way? I have. You felt dry and brittle? And it's like, not much fruit going on. And I've been pruned in that way and felt that way, where it wasn't necessarily accurate, but it was a pruning. I've also felt that way because I was not abiding in him. I wasn't abiding in him. I was striving instead. I was working things out myself. I was doing my best with my own strength. That's where you start to dry out. But when we're connected to him, man, there's a vitality. There's a flow of everything that he has on the inside of us. In verse 6, same chapter here, says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them and cast them into the fire, they are burned. When I did this tour at this vineyard in Napa, we also drove by this section where they had huge piles of dried up vine branches that they were gonna torch. Man, that stood out to me too. It was like, oh my goodness, I don't wanna be the one that is apart from him and just so dry and burn out. I don't fully understand all that he's saying in this verse, to be honest, because I know that he is so patient with us and he invites us to get reconnected to him all of the time. There's this comfort that he has, but there also is, to me, the sobering reality of being shipwrecked in faith, of getting bitter, of getting separate from him and living a separate life. I don't want that in my life. I don't want it in your life. There's always this invitation to come back and get into his side get into that place where he is. Abide in him. It's an open invitation at all times. Verse 7, then he starts giving some promises here. How about this one? If you abide in me, so I've given you the invitation, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, the words that I'm speaking, the words that we have here, if those words are living on the inside of you like I'm living on the inside of you, how about this? Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. That's some kind of promise. If the abiding is happening, if the words are on the inside of us, the request that we make will be done for you. Incredible promise. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this. Here's how God gets glory. Here's how the Father gets glory. That you bear much fruit. So the Lord gets glorified as we're fruitful. We're fruitful as we abide. This is pretty important stuff. And so prove to be my disciples. We show that we're followers of him, that we're his disciples, as we abide in him in fruitfulness. And then the Father's glorified. Verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. As we talked about last week, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. When we're abiding in him, we're abiding in his love. That's also a mindset. Am I going there every day? Is that I'm living in the love and the juice of Jesus? I'm attached. We are one. We are one. You know, in Ephesians 5, Paul is talking about marriage. Then he said, really, what I'm really talking about is the mystery of Jesus and his bride, his church. About them living united together, Jesus and his body. That's what Jesus is talking about here. It's a mysterious. A man and woman can join themselves physically. Jesus is explaining something spiritually, saying you can be joined with me in your spirit, in my spirit, and we are one spiritually. It's mysterious. I don't have a full grasp on it, but it's beautiful and it's incredible, and there's power and joy and fruitfulness from it. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, which his commandments were, what? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are his commandments. Those are the two he gave. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. By loving others, you're loving him. By loving him, you love others. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He's saying, I'm doing this very thing with my Father. I'm abiding in him. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. He's saying these things so that you can be full of joy. When you're fruitful, there's joy attached to that too. When there's fruit coming from your life, when there's fruit coming from my life, there's a joy in it that you can't quite explain. And that is Jesus's desire. He's saying, here's how you do it. Abide in me. You want joy? You want fruitfulness? You want the Father to be glorified? You want your prayers answered? All of those things come live in me, and I'll live in you, and we'll do some things. I love that. This abiding thing it's actually a verb. It's an action. It's an invitation to stay in a place, to not leave that place. You know, part of the main purpose for this fellowship, for this church, is to encourage you in this relationship right here. It's about connecting with him more than a person. It's about connecting with the person of Jesus and abiding in him. And I think a lot of times it has a lot to do with how we feel, how we think, and the actions that we take spiritually, that I'm staying in this place. I'm staying in you, Jesus. I'm not gonna live separate from you. I'm not gonna live my day hoping I'm blessed by you. I'm living in you. Live through me, Lord. Live through me. I'm staying in this place. This grafted union with you. And he wants us to see ourselves that way. He wants you to see yourself that way. He wants me to see myself that way. that I'm in union with him. We get to do this. I encourage you to, even on your own, to dig into this a little bit, to ask the Lord, how do I abide in you? How do I live in you? How do I change my mindset and change my mindset, Lord, to see myself in union with you, living, abiding in you, that we're one spirit, as you said. And he can do that so that we are behaving like him, living like him, enjoying things like he does, full of joy, fruitful. I want to be more fruitful. I don't know about you. I want to be much more fruitful. That comes from abiding in him. All right. We get to do something else today. I want you to, even by faith there, to press into the Lord on this abiding thing. But also, we get to receive communion today. And it's interesting to me that here we go talking about the vine. Jesus uses that as an example. I'm the vine, he said. And then when it comes to this moment in time where he's about to die, he has his last meal with his guys, and he says, I've waited earnestly. I've been looking forward, basically, to this moment, this time with you. And he says in Luke, and it's also in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, this is my body that's broken for you. This is my body that's broken for you. Then he says, this wine, this product of the grapes, and I'm the vine, is representative of something. It's representative of a brand new covenant that I have with you. A brand new covenant that I have invited you into. It's between he and his Father, and he's brought us in. If we're abiding in him, then we get all of the new covenant. Would you guys stand with me? And if you have not given your life to Jesus, if you've not made him Lord, if you have not taken him up on his invitation, we could do this beautiful thing called repentance, which means we turn from the way we're going and we turn toward him and say, I am sorry. Lord, I've been going the wrong way. I look to you, I invite you into my life. I say yes to what you say in the way that you want me to live. I believe you, I confess you as my Lord, and I confess that you're God. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, Jesus, and you're mine. You can do that on your own right now if you've never done that before. If you'd like someone to talk with you, you have questions, we're gonna have in a few moments some folks up here up front who will minister to you, they'll talk with you, they'll fellowship with you. You can ask them questions, they'll pray with you. For those who have done this, we get to partake of the Lord's table here where he gave us bread and he gave us wine. This is grape juice today though. It still comes from a grape. If you could find the closest bread and drink next to you. We have tables on the sides, in the back, in the far back. If you could go ahead and find the closest to you, take it back to your seat if you wouldn't mind. I want to pray and then we're going to receive communion together here. There's nothing quite like communion. Jesus setting this up says this is my body which is for you. Do this, receive this, drink this, eat this in remembrance of me. He's asking us to remember him. He's asking us to remember what he's done. And I think he's also asking us to remember what he said, even what we were just talking about, that I'm the vine. You're about to drink some fruit of that vine. Remember that you're in me. Remember that I invited you to stay there. We get to live together in this earth and beyond. And all that he's done for us, paying for our sin, paying for our healing, paying all the debt, all the decrees against us, all the law that we could not fulfill on our own. He paid for it once for all. the sacrifice one time for all time for every person. Then he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for showing us how to live in you. Thank you for your body, the way that it was broken, beaten, shredded, beard pulled out, thorns jammed into your head, all the things that you endured, that you patiently went through. It was so hard, it was excruciating, beyond what we can fathom or imagine. And you were thinking about us, you were doing it for us. You were doing it for our freedom, for our healing. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And we remember you right now. We imagine what you went through. We imagine those eyes of love thinking about us, a heart full of compassion and full of love for us right now. You remember this right now. In Jesus' name, let's go ahead and eat the bread. And Lord, we receive even now your healing into our bodies. As we remember you paying for us, here we are eating bread that reminds us of our healing. Heal every person in here, Lord, I ask as well. Anyone who needs healing in their body, regardless of what it is, be healed in Jesus' name. Receive the healing of Jesus, the healing of the kingdom that he brought. And Father, thank you for all that blood that poured out of the body of Jesus. When he was cut, the juice of Jesus flowed. The vine bled. The Lamb of God dripped with red blood down his face from the thorns on his head to heal our minds, to remove our worries, all anxiety. The blood of Jesus flowing down his body cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us from all sin, all the wrong we've ever done. The lies, the deception, we've been in all of the immorality, all those things. Thank you, Jesus, for cleansing us with this blood. Thank you for these grapes that have been crushed, gone through a process, and you've said, here's something to remember my blood by. So we're gonna drink something that is not bitter but sweet, because we're receiving something wonderful and beautiful, and you did all the hard stuff. You went through the bitterness. You went through the excruciating pain, and we get to receive what you have given to us. We remember you, Jesus, and Lord, we're so thankful. We are thankful today. In Jesus' name, go ahead and receive that juice down in your mouth, touching your tongue, tasting the sweetness of what Jesus has done for us, and then receiving into the places you can't see or get to, that juice is gonna go. And thank you, Jesus, for going to the places that we can't change in ourselves, the things that we can't touch, the places we can't see, but you cleanse and you wash and you make new and you restore and you renew. I ask that you do that for all of us here today as we're thinking about you, as we are remembering what you've done for us. We love you, Lord. And we're so thankful. And in this moment, as we've just drank some of the fruit of the vine, Lord, I'm asking for all of us that we would live in the vine. That we would live in the vine. Not just thinking about it today, but tonight, tomorrow morning, the day after that, next week, next month, every year, that we would choose to stay in you, in that place, not just a belief, but wrapped up in you, connected with you, one with you. Make that revelation real for all of us, I pray. In Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. If you could maybe touch the person next to you, if they allow you, on their shoulder, hand, and just let's just pray for that person. Lord, we bless them right now. We bless our neighbor, our spouse, our child, our friend. We bless them. Lord, let love grow in our hearts for our neighbors, for our friends, for our spouses, for our children, for our parents. Lord, let your love grow. Let the juice of your love that we get to live in just flow through us in greater ways than ever before. And let this love that we feel for this person we're praying for right now, let that same type of love increase in us for those around us, for those at work, for those that we have responsibility for those that we see in our neighborhood. Lord, I ask for your love to continue to flow. And I thank you, Jesus, for the juice that you have that flows through us in fullness. We're not lacking. We have everything we need. We have everything we need. And we speak that fullness over the person we're touching right now. We bless them with the fullness of life in Jesus, the fullness of hope and joy and peace and your power and all of your healing. Heal their bodies, help their minds, bring hope right now in the name of Jesus. Let hope arise. And I ask that you'd also speak to us, Lord, if there is a word of encouragement you want to put inside of us for them. Give us visions, thoughts of yours, ideas that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you get something encouraging while we were just praying there, please give that to the person. Maybe it's the person behind you. Enjoy him every day. Let's abide in him. This week, we have ministry teams that are up front here or coming up front that would be happy to pray with you, for you. If you don't know Jesus, please run up here. Make sure that you get to know him. Learn how to abide in him. Have a great life. All right, have a wonderful day. Great week ahead. If you haven't signed up for the Jason Upton Worship Night, encourage you to do that. Bless you guys.